The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
Good morning, Human. I'm David Kreber. I'm a member of this congregation. On behalf of our wonderful music director, Alex Peach, from that rousing opening piece, our speaker today, the inimitable Shelley Negrani, the Reverend Dave Dunn, who is on his summer break today, so you're going to have a rotating cast of members of the congregation doing the sermons this summer. Who have I missed? Religious Exploration Director Lexi Taney Brown, who is probably out with the children somewhere right now. I'd like to welcome you to Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation, which we lovingly call Human. No matter who you are, who you love, or where you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. If we have any first-time visitors today and you feel comfortable doing so, would you mind standing and introducing yourself so that we can worship together as friends? Okay, there we go. In the back? Yeah.
I'm Rick. This is my daughter, Penny.
I'm Jesse. This is my daughter, Penny.
Yeah. Welcome, Rick and Jesse. Yeah, thank you. And here?
I'm Laura
Daly.
This is my
Laura and Blaine?
Blake.
Welcome. Good to see you. Did I miss it again? Yeah. And yes.
Sheila?
Yeah. Welcome. Thank you. Anybody over on this side? Okay, well, thank you very much. I've got a couple of announcements, but I want to start first. Is Mike Chambers in here yet? Mike, you want to come up and we have some visitors in our building this week, and Mike's going to tell us about that.
Hi, I was going to do this as a joy and sorrow, so I'll do it that way. I have a joy today that Family Promise is moving in. In fact, I was just out there talking to the guy that brought the truck over. So if anybody wants to help unload a truck after service, we could use help there. There's still some slots available for like doing dinners, being an overnight host. So if you want to do that, I sent out a sign-up link or just reached out to me after service. The families, we only have one family moving in today. They're working on getting more, so we'll probably have more by the end of our stay. We're doing a three-week stay like we did last year. We're partnering again with our neighbors down the street, Northbrook Methodist and the Roswell Masjid, who do a great job. So, like I say, if there's still slots if you're available. I want to do that. Thanks.
Okay, so a couple of other announcements. So first of all, our new website has gone live. Who all has been out to visit the new website? Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. So a big thank you to Carla Rosati and everyone who contributed to, you know, both the design as well as the feedback on that website. But it's our virtual front door to the community, and again, I think really looks good, so please check it out. Also on the new website, you will find the June edition of the Human Times, right? So the newsletter is there. To view that, you can go to the resources drop down and you'll see the newsletters, and there's an archive of past newsletters as well. As I mentioned before, Pastor Dave is on summer break. So for the next 7 or 8 weeks, you're going to have different members of our congregation delivering the messages on Sunday morning. The schedule for that is in the Human Times for June, and then July's will be posted later. Some more good news here is that after a three-year hiatus, the Common Grounds Coffee House is going to be restarting. So it's going to be on the third Saturday of the month. So this month, that will be on June 17th. It'll be held here in the sanctuary, and everyone is invited. So the larger local community, bring your friends, neighbors, anyone that you think might enjoy coffee and good music and good interaction with others. Doors open at 7 o'clock and the show starts at 7:30. If you'd like to volunteer to be a greeter or to help out in the kitchen serving refreshments, please contact Janet Lacey, and you can reach her at coffeehouse@human.org. This morning we have one adult enrichment offering. It's going to be the Sunday service reflection. That will be probably about 20 minutes after the service down in classroom 3 through the fellowship hall. One quick reminder from the RE team, summer programming has begun today. All RE activities will take place at 10 o'clock during the worship service here, and there's no play group, there's no classes after service. You can see details in your program if you need that. Now let us light our chalice together. Shelley will light while I'll ask everybody to read the chalice lighting that's printed in your order of service. A flame rises from the flaming chalice, a symbol of Unitarian Universalist faith. As we kindle this flame, may it spark in each of us connection and commitment to this living tradition and to each other.
So today's story for all ages is the story of the little red hen. One summer day, the little red hen found a grain of wheat. A grain of wheat, said the little red hen to herself, I will plant it. She asked the duck, will you help me plant this grain of wheat? Not I, said the duck. She asked the goose, will you help me plant this grain of wheat? Not I, said the goose. She asked the cat, will you help me plant this grain of wheat? Not I, said the cat. She asked the pig, will you help me plant this grain of wheat? Not I, said the pig. Then I will plant it myself, said the little red hen, and she did. Soon the wheat grew tall, and the little red hen knew it was time to reap it. Who will help me reap the wheat, she asked. Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the pig. Then I will reap it myself, said the little red hen, and she did. She reaped the wheat, and it was ready to be taken to the mill and made into flour. Who will help me carry the wheat to the mill, she asked. Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the pig. Then I will carry it myself, said the little red hen, and she did. She carried the wheat to the mill, and the miller made it into flour. When she got home, she asked, who will help me make the flour into dough? Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the pig. Then I will make the dough myself, said the little red hen, and she did. Soon the bread was ready to go into the oven. Who will help me bake the bread, said the little red hen. Not I, said the duck. Not I, said the goose. Not I, said the cat. Not I, said the pig. Then I will bake it myself, said the little red hen, and she did. After the loaf had been taken from the oven, it was set on the windowsill to cool. And now, said the little red hen, who will help me eat the bread? I will, said the duck. I will, said the goose. I will, said the cat. I will, said the pig. No, I will eat it myself, said the little red hen, and she did.
Ago, I visited Human for the first time as I was going through a search to find a new faith community. I wanted to find a place where I could be my authentic self as I worked through some questions that I had about what I believed, what was important, and how I should live my life. But most of all, I really wanted to find a place where I could experience a sense of belonging. So belonging, along with love, sits in the middle tier of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It comes after our basic physiological needs, like food, shelter, and clothing, and our safety and security needs have been met. And it precedes the higher order needs of self-esteem and self-actualization. It's like a bridge. To become my best self, I need to be in a community in which I am loved and accepted, one that nurtures and supports me as I move through life. But belonging is a two-way street. In order to truly thrive and belong, I need to contribute back to the group. Otherwise, I run the risk of simply being a consumer, a spectator, a fan. I'm not truly invested unless I sign up to do something. So over the years in different communities where I've belonged, that has been things as simple as signing up to bring snacks for my children's rec league teams, corralling six-year-olds at a neighborhood swim meet, and being an assistant teacher in my children's Sunday school class. So when I first started attending Human, I wanted to start getting involved in different ways. So I started with what I call baby steps, right? I joined the Saturday morning meditation group. And then a couple of the adult RE classes, which I just thought were book clubs. But I contributed to the discussions, and I eventually had an opportunity to fill in for one of the leaders when they were away. And so it was a way of just kind of drawing me in a little bit more. I brought food for a potluck dinner. I brought clothing for men's clothing for a charity drive as I was cleaning out my closet. Came to various different gatherings that I saw posted on the schedule, helped stack chairs when that was needed. So after several months of this, as I made the decision to become a member of this community, I signed up to be a worship associate. And then I later shared my faith journey at a lay-led service. This year I began leading a service reflection discussion after the service downstairs. And I'm planning to jointly lead another class in the fall. We think it's going to be something along the lines of faith after doubt. What do you do when your faith framework falls apart and then you need to find something new to operate in? So I'm always open to new possibilities, opportunities where our community has a need that I can help with. By contributing, giving back, investing my time and talent, I develop new connections and relationships. And through that, I experience belonging. And then both I and the community thrive and grow as a result. For me, it's not so much an obligation to serve, but an opportunity to realize the joy and fulfillment that comes from fully embracing and participating in a community.
So when I was a child, I rooted for the little red hen. She did the work. She should get the bread. The duck, the goose, the cat, and the pig did not do the work. They should not get the bread. It was simple. But as I got older, nuances began to emerge. What do we actually know about the duck, the goose, the cat, and the pig? We're meant to assume that they are lazy, unwilling to work. Therefore, they should not get the bread. But what if the cat hesitates to get involved in any bird-led activities because, as a natural predator, he fears making the birds uncomfortable? The pig may feel that the hen is privileged because all she has to give up is unfertilized eggs, while the pig will probably end up giving her actual life. The goose could be suffering from depression, having lost its mate last winter, and therefore has no energy for reaping wheat. We don't know. And the little red hen is completely not interested. She's 100% focused on the tasks to be accomplished. That focus causes her to completely disregard what is happening with others in her community. She is confident that she is doing the right thing, having found the grain of wheat and being determined to make the most of it. She is so focused that she never takes the time to ask why her community is not participating. She loses the opportunity to build community because she never stops to ask, what can be done to help those unable or unwilling to do the work with her? And where does she end up? Eating bread alone. I'm sure that she's feeling self-righteous, but she may also be feeling lonely and unsatisfied. Another story from my childhood is from the time during which people were settling in the West. So this was my childhood. It was the 1950s, so I wasn't aware that the land was being stolen from indigenous people or that recently freed slaves were not given any of the land, but Europeans were being recruited from overseas to settle there. Oblivious to the realities, I remember that it seemed wonderful to me that people would get together and help each other build homes. The women made food and the men did the building. Even the children had work to do. The story I vaguely remember was about a crotchety old man who refused to help others. Then one day, everyone arrived and built him a house. He was transformed by their generosity into a grandfatherly type full of kindness and laughter. Of course, he had a story of trauma and loss about which no one was aware. Both these stories helped to shape my value system. I am someone who believes that if I want the bread, I have to help with the baking. I am also someone who believes that we should nurture one another and that love is not something anyone has to earn. Being a volunteer at Human provides a space in which I can live both values. Human, like most churches, completely relies on us doing the work. Like the homes in which we live, Human is a demanding place. It will not survive if we do not maintain it. It will not grow if we do not improve it. No one else will do these things, not the government or a corporation or a charitable foundation. Like the little red hen, we have to do the work. It is the only way we will survive. The important distinction from our houses is that what we are building and maintaining here is much more than the physical location. Beyond the physical work that needs to be done here, Human is that place in which we can do our spiritual work. This is where we build community. Therefore, the duck, the goose, the cat, and the pig are just as important to us as burnt out light bulbs or the weeds that need to be pulled. We have to be both the little red hen and the kind settlers who built the home for the crotchety neighbor. The rewards of volunteering, as we've heard from David, can be wonderful. Susan Wilson, chair of operations, is completely in charge of our buildings and grounds. She is the one who led the work of recovering from the water damage this winter. She is the one who's leading the work of restoring our beautiful landscape that suffered from neglect during COVID. And this morning, the first thing she said when I saw her is, "It's so exciting, we've freed up a lot of storage space." She's the one who makes sure that the sewer tank is pumped and that the tabletop is put in place in Fellowship Hall. She has been on the operations team since 2009. She was recruited by Diantha Horton, and she is sure that she was not the team's first choice. She began her work on the committee by following Don Gross around and seeing what he did. She learned, became more confident, and is now the leader of that team. There are so many people doing important work here at Human, but I'm highlighting Susan for a reason. For her, figuring out how to fix problems brings her joy. All of the work of the operations team brings her joy when she's not totally frustrated by it. She loves and enjoys the company of the people with whom she works. The people on the operations team are a bonded group of people. They created those connections by working respectfully together. To me, what is most fascinating is that within the community, we have the opportunity to grow as individuals, while at the same time helping create the environment in which we and others grow. We create the environment and we do the growing. It is so easy to think of our environment, especially shared environment, as something that happens to us. We're discouraged from thinking of the world as something that we have actually helped create. But Newman gives us such an opportunity to consciously create our environment. So often at Newman, I am filled with gratitude for the many ways that people give. It kind of blows my mind when I think deeply about it. Newman is totally fabricated by the actual individuals here who have together built a community. People moved this church from a basement to a suite in a business park, to Fellowship Hall, to this beautiful sanctuary. Members of Uniman created our community covenant. We created this physical structure and the culture of how we come together in it. We did this. At the same time, we created a spiritual community through the activity of working together. There are a number of people who, over the years, have created and continue to create covenant groups and classes that provide Newman with the opportunity for spiritual growth. Members of Newman have identified a path in which they are interested and have taken responsibility for creating a space in which they and fellow travelers are able to explore. I am currently the chair of the program council at Newman. Not a month goes by that I don't hear a story about an unfilled volunteer position or someone who feels stuck in their volunteer position because they're afraid no one else will do it. While I hear this and am anxious about these stories, I also know that most jobs do get done and usually someone steps up. Sometimes no one steps up, some work doesn't get done, and still we manage to survive. On the other hand, I meet people at Newman who choose not to participate. I am not the little red hen and would fight hard to ensure that they too are given bread. However, over the years, I noticed that those are the people who drift away from Newman because they do not have the bonds that are forged through working together. I promised that this sermon would not be about recruiting volunteers, and I'm going to keep that promise. I will simply ask that you think about whether you have found the connections and community you seek at Newman. If not, I ask that you consider building those connections through participating in the shared work of this church. If there are barriers to your sharing in the work, I invite you to ask for help. For those of us who are in a position to serve, I ask that we pay attention to those not working with us. Let us assume that, like the crotchety old man in the story, there may be a backstory of some pain. There may be shyness or fear of failure. Let the attention we pay them be about honoring and supporting, not judging. Finally, I ask that we live our mission. Nurture our spirit. As we are the ones who create this environment, we have a responsibility to make it an environment in which everyone has the opportunity to nurture their spirit. Our mission says that we nurture our spirit, not that we nurture the spirit of those who contribute. Let us be a community that will build one's house simply because that person is part of this community and needs a house. The tasks will somehow get done, or maybe they won't, but we will not end up eating bread alone while others go hungry.
Please join me in reading our the extinguishing of the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts, until we are together again.
As David said in the welcoming, whoever you are, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are welcome here. You do not have to do the work to earn that, but it helps. This service has ended. Please go in peace.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.